She didn't really volunteer to kind of lead the worship this morning. When you're pastor's wife, you don't get to volunteer for a lot of things. You kind of get enlisted sometimes. So Brad and Mandy and River are vacationing in Florida. It's one of the at least five families that I'm aware of. They're out of town this weekend. You're going to want to open your Bibles to the 145th Psalm. I already read this morning in my opening prayer some of the verses from this passage of Scripture. But you're going to want to open your Bibles to Psalm 145. We're not going to spend a lot of time there this morning. In fact, I'm trying to do what I do here this morning. Little shorter than what I normally do because of how I want to close the service this morning. And I don't even want to use the word close because of how we're arranging what we're doing this morning. And then the service will be closed. But Psalm 145, you know, a little bit of history. 30 years ago, El Dorado First Baptist Church, Bob Dickerson was the pastor. Some of you were here, many of you were not. But the church 30 years ago, El Dorado First Baptist Church, you would have described it as a healthy church. I can't tell you that was the peak attendance in the history of the church. I think there were times farther back where there maybe were even more attending. But the church was growing, had grown from where they had been when Bob first came. And that year, 30 years ago, the church averaged right at 250. And I honestly can't tell you if that was a Sunday school number or worship number. But I think the number that I've seen and I've read in the records of when I went back at one time and looked those up was 248. But right at 250. And that year, things kind of peaked, okay? And that the next year, you wouldn't have said, no one at El Dorado First Baptist Church would have described, no one would have said, well, our church is declining. But attendance went down just a little, by like three or four, the average attendance. And if the numbers that I looked up and found when I first came to El Dorado First Baptist Church as your pastor in July of 2006... was that for 17 years, after that average right at 250, El Dorado First Baptist Church declined or plateaued in attendance. It was never a big drop. There wasn't ever a time in those 17 years where 30 or 40 people suddenly disappeared in one year. It was never anything like that that happened. There were a couple of years in the records where they reported the exact same attendance that they reported the year before. But in that 17 years, there was never a year when they reported an attendance that was higher than the year before. And so, 17 years, that just slow, gradual decline in attendance. The year before I came as your pastor, the average attendance had dipped to what was then a 17-year low of 114. I think that's the Sunday school number. So there was an average annual decline over those 17 years of about 8 per year. When I came in 2006, that first year, we just kind of motored along about the same. But then some things started kicking in and God started doing some things. And for the first three or four years that I was here as your pastor, that 17-year downward decline was broken off. And we had three or four years of a slow, steady increase. And we peaked at around 150, an average of attendance of about 150 in about the fourth year. So that would have been around 2010. And then we started plateauing again. That growth pattern broke off, and we probably for a couple or three years that no one would have said, "Well, we're declining," but we were just kind of hanging in there. And then that decline started again. And right now, we're in what I would call the ninth year of that pattern from 2010 of just dropping off. And I tell you that, I go through that history to drive home this point. Our church needs revitalization. Our church, El Dorado First Baptist Church, is in need of revitalization. You can use the word renewal, or you can use the word revival, and those are good words, and we need those. We would not be wrong to say our church needs renewal. We would not be wrong to say our church needs revival. Those would be accurate statements. But I'm using the word revitalization because we need changes in how we function, how we make decisions. We need changes in how we visualize what it means to be the church and the activities that we plan and the ministries that we carry out. Yes, we need a work of the Holy Spirit, and we need the manifestation of the power of God. And we desperately need renewal and revival. But revitalization goes beyond even renewal and revival. It goes to the DNA of who the church is. It goes to how we see ourselves as the church and how we see our mission and how we see our purpose and how we see God calling us to be active in our community and in our world. Revitalization looks to permanent changes that will sustain the church moving forward to the next outpouring of God's Spirit, the next movement of God. So this morning I'm talking about prayer and church revitalization. And I want to talk to you about the importance of prayer, about the necessity of prayer when it comes to revitalization of the church. There's a little thing in the bulletin that has been there before, but I haven't said a lot about it in Sunday morning worship. I have said quite a bit about it on Wednesday night in our prayer services. But this morning, my goal is to ask you, El Dorado First Baptist Church, to commit to praying for our church and to do it daily. Because revitalization, renewal, revival is not going to happen if we aren't desiring it, if we don't want it. And it's not enough just to look around and say, well, there's not as many of us here as there used to be. Something needs to change. It's not enough to just look around and say, well, maybe we're not doing this as well as we could, and we need to do it better. It's not enough to just say those things or think those things. We have to desire them. We have to hunger after them to the point that we are crying out to God to come and do something in our midst. So prayer and church revitalization is what we're talking about this morning. And I want to start with the three verses at the beginning of this chapter, Psalm 145, that I already read. Before I read it, I want to ask you to pray with me again. Heavenly Father, You are God. You are on Your throne. You are sovereign. And this is Your church. Jesus, Your Son, is the head of the church. This church is the body of Christ. Lord, remind us that this is not our church. Remind us that we are the church. And we are under Your authority and under Your lordship. You are God. And that we have a calling and a commission and a responsibility to be Your church, to be the church. And Lord, I just ask that as we worship together today, and as we look at Your word today, and as we listen to this challenge today, that we will want you and want your presence, that we will pursue you, and that we will desire you enough that we will seek you out every day. To reveal yourself and to glorify yourself in El Dorado First Baptist Church. Father, I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The 145th Psalm is a psalm that exalts God. It lifts God up. It is a worship psalm. It is a psalm of praise. And the first three verses are, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. And then verse 2 is very important because it says, every day I will bless you. Every day I will bless you. Not on the Lord's day I will bless you. Not on the Sabbath I will bless you. Not on the times when I happen to think about it, I will bless you. But David is writing this song of praise to the Lord, and he is saying that every single day, every day, I'm going to bless my God. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. So those opening verses, there's David's praise for God and his witness, his statement, his confession of the greatness of God, and that he is going to center his life on the greatness of God to the point that every single day he's going to praise his name forever and ever. And he's going to seek him and enter his presence and seek out the unsearchable greatness of God. Now, move down a few verses there to verse 18 and 19. In verse 18, David says this, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord's near to all, to everyone who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and he saves them. Let those words of David sink in for a moment. And we're going to come back to them in just a minute. And we kind of shared the history of our church over the last 30 years, this 30-year pattern of decline with 3 or 4 years in there in the middle where God turned things around for a little while. We're not alone. A recent Gallup poll that was published in April of this year shows that church membership in America is at an all-time low. For the first time since Gallup started tracking these numbers, only 50% of Americans claim to be members of a church. 50%. We are right at the tipping point where another year of decline and church members will be truly in, not just church attenders, church members will be truly be in the minority in America. And there will be more people who say, no, I am not a member of any kind of church, than there are who say they are a member of any kind of church. 20 years ago, 70%. In 1999, 70% of all Americans said they belonged to a church. So in 20 years, that number has gone from 70% to 50%. So the church in America is in decline. And when you look at the demographics of these statistics, what Gallup says is that the group that is the single largest reason for that decline is the increase of people who say they have no religious belief at all. We've labeled them as the nuns. The nuns. Not N-U-N, but N-O-N-E, the nuns. Do you have religious belief? No, I have none. I don't have any religious belief. And that group, which historically has been a very small percentage of the American population, is growing faster than any other group. And that's the single large place where that's dropped the most. But even among Americans who say they have religious beliefs, that religion is important to them, there was a 9% drop in church membership. So even among people who say, I'm spiritual, I have religious beliefs, I believe in God, I believe that religion has a place in my life, fewer of those people are joining churches than they did at one time. And I would add attending churches. So from 70% to 50%, just let that number sink in. Now, when you look at things closer, mega churches are growing. Now, it used to be that a mega church was a church that averaged 1,000 or more in attendance. I don't know if that's still considered the breaking line or not. But they tell me that mega churches are growing. They are increasing their attendance. I do have a sense that mega churches as a whole have a lower percentage of their attenders are members. They attend, but they don't join. The mega churches are growing. And then if you look at churches that run average 250 in attendance or higher, interesting that that's the tipping point back 30 years ago, was 250 here at El Dorado First Baptist Church. Churches that average over 250, 40% of those churches say they are growing. 40%. That's not a real high number. In fact, it means that 60% of the churches that run 250 or more say we're either stuck where we're at or we're declining. We're plateaued or we're declining. Churches smaller than 250 in attendance, 75%, 3 out of 4 of those churches say we're either stuck where we're at or we're declining. And if you know much about churches in America, you know that the vast majority of churches in America have fewer than 250 people in attendance. But the majority of churches in America, 75% of them, are declining. Now, Tom Rainer, who was the executive director of Lifeway, he's since stepped away from that position, and he's ministering as a church consultant now, trying to help churches. And a big focus of his right now is on church revitalization. And he's done a great deal of research on churches that are plateaued, are declining, that turn them around. He's identified about 240 churches. But 240 churches, evangelical, most of them are probably Southern Baptist churches. I don't know that all 240 of them are or not. They were declining, getting smaller, weren't healthy, and it's turned around. And now they are healthy, and they are reaching people, and they are growing, and they are fulfilling their mission. They are fulfilling their calling. And he's researched these, and he's put that research in a little book that quite a few of you have read, Scrappy Church. And that little book, Scrappy Church, looks at the common denominators of these 240 churches that turn things around. And one of the things that he found as he studied these churches was a very strong connection between prayer and revitalization. That in these churches that were declining, these churches that were plateaued, these churches that were unhealthy and they had trouble making decisions and they had trouble getting their ministries off the ground and they were not feeling effective and there was discouragement in their leadership, discouragement in their congregation, and now they've turned that around. That in those churches have turned around, they identify prayer as being of great significance. Now, I think it was in April that I actually put these in our bulletin. I didn't talk about it. I just put them in the bulletin for you to read. But on a Wednesday night, we talked about these things. But they identified six reasons that prayer is significant in church revitalization. Six reasons. The first one is because prayer recognizes the source of revitalization. Prayer recognizes the source of revitalization. When a church experiences turnaround, people are reached. Excuse me. When a church revitalizes, it's depending on the power of God. Prayer recognizes that God is the only true source of that turnaround. That it's not the turnaround, it's not the excellence of the leadership, it's not the great plan that they've come up with, it's not the strategy that's been enacted. It is God who's the source of that revitalization. So prayer is significant for that reason. It's significant because prayer recognizes that revitalization is spiritual warfare. When a church begins to turn things around, Satan does not like that. Satan doesn't like that because people are being reached with the gospel. And so the enemy of the gospel and the enemy of the church, the enemy of God, Satan, will do whatever he can to stop that from happening. And putting on the full armor of God, which includes prayer, is absolutely necessary. Prayer is significant in church revitalization because prayer turns people away from their own self-sufficiency. Oftentimes, church try to revitalize things with a human-powered effort. And sometimes those things can get off the ground for a short period of time, but they become short-lived when they are human-powered, when they are from our own self-sufficiency. But praying people, when the people of God become a praying people of God, praying people clearly recognize that they can't get done what the church needs under their own power. They need the power of God. Prayer turns people away from being self-sufficient. It also turns people away from being self-serving. Praying people become obedient people. Praying people become obedient people. And in their efforts to share the gospel in their community and serve others, that becomes the priority. And they're more interested in sharing the gospel with someone. They're more interested with meeting a need, the needs of someone than they are of their own self-service and their own preferences being met. And so prayer becomes vital in that because too often in American church culture, churches become about what do I like? What is the music I like? What kind of sermons do I like? What kind of small groups do I want to be a part of? And do I like? What kind of topics do I want to have? What am I looking for? What's my preference for my family? We develop all these self-serving preferences that get in the way of the priorities of God's kingdom. And prayer helps change that. Prayer unifies the church. One of the keys to revitalization is church unity. Nothing unifies a church more than powerful prayer. And I have been told that unity in the church is a myth. That unity in the church is impossible to achieve. If by unity that person who said that means everybody agreeing on everything, he's probably right. But that's not what the unity of the church is. And the unity of the church is presented in the gospel as being essential to carrying out the gospel mission. Of all people being together of one heart and loving God supremely and serving God supremely and trusting God supremely. Yes, there may be some disagreements about which sound system to use or which what color of carpet to have or which Sunday school classroom somebody's going to meet in. But when the gospel has priority and God has priority and reaching and helping people has priority, all those preferences become, we say, well, that's okay. It's not important whether I get what I want or not. Let's reach people for Jesus together. And then prayer is significant because prayer helps people discern the will of God. We are the church. We belong to Him. How can we carry out His mission if we don't know what our mission is? If we don't know what God's will is, and if we're not praying, we will not have that conversation with God where His will is revealed to us. So those are the six reasons that these 240 churches, these are the six things these 240 churches shared with Tom Rainer. They said, prayer helped us get over our self-sufficiency. Prayer helped us get over our self-serving. Prayer helped us discover the will of God. Prayer helped us to learn to depend upon the power of God. Prayer helped us combat spiritual warfare, the barriers to being effective. And so prayer is essential to church revitalization. Now look back again at verses 18 and 19. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who pray to Him. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him, and He hears their cry, and He saves them. So again, who is the Lord near to? Who is the Lord near to? He's near to those who call on Him in truth. Not just lip service, not just, oh yeah, I pray when I think about it. Not just, you know, I talk to God about what I want. I tell Him my needs. I tell Him what my preferences are. No, not just lip service. But God is near to those who call upon Him in truth, to those who seek God and diligently desire Him. He's the goal. God's presence in my life is what I want. God is the goal. God is not the means to what I want. God is not the means. I don't want the power of God because I want these things. I just want God. Who is the Lord near? The one who calls upon Him in truth. They seek God and diligently desire Him, and they call out and cry out to Him. The Lord is near to them. And then whose desire does He fulfill? Whose desires does He fulfill? This scripture says that He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. Those who fear God, that's whose desires God's fulfill. Let's think about that. Who is the person who fears God? The person who fears God is the person who recognizes God's authority and recognizes His holiness and His judgment. And so that person seeks righteous obedience because they love God and respect God and honor God, and yes, they fear God. So if we want God to be near and we want God to fulfill the desire of revitalizing our church, we have to cry out to Him in truth, call upon Him in truth, and fear Him. And lift up His authority and His holiness and His judgment and understand, I want my life to please God. That's really what obedience is about. I want every area of my life to please God. Are we willing to be that people? Are we, as El Dorado First Baptist Church, are we the people of El Dorado First Baptist Church, are we the people who are willing to be people who cry out to God in truth and fear Him? and tells us what God does. It says He hears their cry and He saves them. He rescues them. If we want God to rescue our church, if we want God to bless our church, if we want God to hear our cries, then we must be the people that David talks about in Psalm 145. So if the church is in trouble, what do we need to do? We need to call upon God in truth. The church needs to change. We want our church to honor God and glorify God. Then we need to obey Him and fear Him and cry out to Him. So this morning I'm issuing you a challenge, the 6-point prayer challenge that you have in your bulletin. A prayer challenge for El Dorado First Baptist Church. I'm asking you to commit to this. I will pray daily for the renewal and revitalization of El Dorado First Baptist Church. Every day I will pray for the renewal and the revitalization of El Dorado First Baptist Church. Don't be scared away from this by saying, well, I don't want to commit to it, and then maybe I forget. The goal is every day. God's grace is big enough, it's okay if Tuesday you forget. But we want this to be the desire of our heart, our commitment. This is what I'm going to try to do. This is what I'm going to surrender to. This is daily I'm going to pray. And the first thing is for the renewal and revitalization of El Dorado First Baptist Church, that God would empower, if you've got this sheet, follow along with me, that God would empower a God-honoring movement in our church. And that in our prayers we would recognize that if we're going to have renewal and revival and revitalization, it has to start with the power of God. And that our movement is a movement designed to honor God and not ourselves. So I'll pray daily for the renewal and revitalization of El Dorado First Baptist. Second thing, I will pray daily for those who need Christ's salvation. We've been talking since a month before Easter about who's your one and having a person that you're praying for and that you're going to pray for every day, and you're going to try to share the gospel, and you're going to invite them to church. And if we are going to see church revitalization, we must be a people who are praying for the lost. We got to have a burden for the people who don't know Jesus. So I'm going to challenge you to pray every day for those who need Christ. May God cause a growing love for Him and others to produce a growing burden for those who do not know Him. Our burden for the lost needs to come out of our love for God and our love for the people that we're praying for. So pray for the renewal and revitalization of El Dorado first. Pray for those who need Christ's salvation. And third one is this, that every day we'll pray for our church leaders. That you'll pray for me as your pastor, and you'll pray for Brad, our worship and youth pastor. That you'll pray for our deacons. You'll pray for our Sunday school teachers. And our other ministry leaders. If you're in the WMU, pray for the WMU leaders every day. If you're in Men on Mission, pray for the leaders of that organization. Your Vacation Bible School is about to happen. Pray for the teachers and the leaders of Vacation Bible School. But every day, pray for the leaders of our church. Pray that God would lead us, use us, provide for us, and protect us for His glory. Pray that God would lead us, use us, provide for us, and protect all of our church leaders for His glory. That's number three. Number four, you're praying for the leadership. Now pray for everybody else. Okay? Pray for one another. May God lead, use, provide for, and protect our entire church family. And this morning, I would even just say, look around you, and the first person you see, pray for them. The person that's sitting closest to you, and if you're related to them and you pray for them every day anyway, turn around behind, find people in the church to pray for. And you may not even know their name, but pray for each other. Pray for each other. Pray for each other. Pray that God would lead the entire church. God would use the entire church. That God would provide for the entire church. And that God would protect our entire church family. Prayer number five. That we would pray for impact and effectiveness. May God provide power and effectiveness for all our many ministries and our services. The truth is, we actually do a lot of things. We're involved in a lot of things. But some of it's not very effective. We need to pray for the effectiveness of Sunday school. We need to pray for the effectiveness of our small groups and life groups. And we need to pray for the effectiveness of our morning worship services. And we need to pray for the effectiveness of Wednesday night prayer service. And we need to pray for what we do when we volunteer at social kitchens. And we need to pray for what we do when we help at Four C's. And we need to pray for the effectiveness of Vacation Bible School. 2 weeks, Lou Horning and Paula Wilson are going on a mission trip to South Dakota. We need to pray that God will use them and it'll be effective. The same week they're going to South Dakota, our youth are going to Ridgecrest, to MFuge, to Mission Fuge. They're going to be doing projects there in North Carolina near Ridgecrest. And we need to pray that they will be effective and they'll make impact both in the lives of those who are going on that trip and the people that they're ministering to. We need to pray for impact and for effectiveness, that we aren't just busy doing things, but that God is using it, that He's empowering it. He's providing power and effectiveness in the ministries of our church. And then the last thing is for our building. We tore down that old building and we met out there on the church that next Sunday after it was done. And we met out there and we stood in a big ring and we covered that whole lot and we prayed for God to provide the resources to build that building. Do you believe that God's going to do that? Do you believe that if God led us to tear that down so we don't have enough space anymore, that God's just going to leave us there with an empty lot? Is that what is going to glorify God? Or do you believe that God will provide the resources to build that building? Do we believe it? Do we believe it enough to give to it? Do we believe enough to pray about it and pray for it daily? That God would provide the resources and the leadership needed to use and what we have and to provide the facilities that we need to be used for His glory. That's the challenge. That's the challenge. I will pray daily for these six petitions. I'm going to ask Lou and Pam and Brittany to come. And I'm going to issue an invitation this morning. I'm going to invite you to come to the altar and pray. And they're going to start singing our invitation hymn. And as they're singing that first verse, I just want those of you who want to see renewal and revival and revitalization to come. And I know that it might be hard. Some of you maybe feel like, well, I can't get down on my knees. Okay, just come up here and stand. Or stay where you're at, but pray, okay? But whatever you're at, whatever you're doing, pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask you to move in our hearts, according to your Holy Spirit. Fill us with a desire to see you glorified. Help us to see that unhealthy churches that are declining and plateauing, Lord, that they don't bring glory to you. Lord, help us to see that when we're apathetic and we're not praying for each other and we're not praying for our leaders and we're not praying for the lost and we're not asking for revival and we're not asking for impact and we're not praying about our building, Lord, that when that's going on, we're not glorifying you. But Lord, we just ask you to move our hearts this morning. Let's stand. We're going to sing this first verse. And then we're just going to have a time of prayer.